The Arizona Supreme Court has agreed to hear arguments about whether the Hopi tribe can try to stop treated wastewater from being used to make snow on the San Francisco peaks. The tribe had asked the justices to not take the case. This is the latest twist in a long-running legal battle over this issue, which has at times seen state law collide with tribal concerns. With me to talk about that is Rhett Larson, an associate professor of law at ASU's Sandra Day O'Connor College of Law. And Rhett, in general, how do these areas get reconciled?
Well, these sort of these issues end up getting hammered out in litigation in federal court, and the U.S. federal government has a trust responsibility to tribes. So it is the responsibility of the federal government to craft legislation and the responsibility of courts to interpret legislation to the benefit of tribes and to protect tribal interests. And so ideally, where there are inconsistencies or where there are ambiguities in the law, those ambiguities and consistencies should be resolved in favor of the tribe. Now, that's in the ideal world. The way the world actually works is that frequently laws are both interpreted, drafted, and implemented in ways that are prejudicial to native interests.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you how ideal, I guess in the tribe's eyes anyway, how ideal these rulings tend to be. It sounds like in many cases, not that ideal.
No, not ideal at all. I think tribes are quite rightly skeptical of sort of interference from outside legal systems. And while I think that courts and the federal government try to be sensitive to tribal concerns, sometimes these cultural differences are so significant that there isn't necessarily a middle ground. And so my specialty is water law, for example, and whereas our Western conception of water rights tends to be grounded in a property rights regime, an understanding of ownership and priority. Many, though certainly not all, native conceptions of water are very different. Those are communal property interests, and there are significant historical, sociocultural, and even religious meanings inherent within those water rights.
I'm curious about the religious aspect of it, because we've heard tribes in the past talk about sacred land. There was an issue with the South Mountain Freeway. It's an issue with a Snowbowl up in Flagstaff. How do tribal religious issues get sort of folded into U.S. law? Because it seems like this would be a perfect example of where those two are kind of butting heads a little bit.
Well, the area, again, the area I'm most familiar with is in water issues. And the way that these issues can be resolved, so for example, in water rights, tribes have their own inherent water rights that are implicit within the reservations that they have. And typically, we go about quantifying those water rights based on the amount of irrigable acreage that the tribe has, how much of the land that they can farm. However, Arizona case law and many of the federal water rights settlements with respect to tribes recognize the tribal religious interests in water and consider tribal religious interests. Now, the Snowbowl case is particularly interesting because there you've seen tribes, including both the Navajo, the Hopi, and others who view the San Francisco Peaks as sacred land, attempt to assert that the religious significance of that land means that you can't exploit that land, for example, with the Snowbowl ski resort or with the use of reclaimed water to create artificial snow, that's a desecration. In 2007, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit held that the use of reclaimed water on the San Francisco Peaks was not a substantial burden on Navajo religious practices. Whether or not it would have been a substantial burden if we changed the facts of that case, so let's say that rather than allowing the application of reclaimed water onto the San Francisco Peaks, the Arizona State Legislature had required the use of reclaimed water in baptismal fonts. Whether or not that case turns out differently is a different question.
Have you noticed any changes over the last X number of years in terms of how these kinds of cases are resolved?
Well, I think that the recent approach by the Hopi is a demonstration of creative legal thinking on the side of the tribes. The tribes attempted to bring a First Amendment Religious Freedom Restoration Act claim in the early part of 2000. And that claim ended up failing in 2007. It was considered to not be a substantial burden. You're seeing the Hopi now say that the application of reclaimed water at Snowbowl is a public nuisance. That is a claim that is much more well-grounded in the history of the common law. It's more easily framed in Western conceptions of property rights. And I think you've seen, because the Court of Appeals recently overturned the trial court's dismissal of that case, they've essentially reinstated the case, that courts are more sympathetic to a public nuisance claim than they have been to the religious freedom claim.
So maybe there's something to taking a tribal concern and sort of finding an application in common law to get it a more favorable verdict.
I think that's exactly right. I think tribes face one of two choices. They either face a long-term, uphill, very difficult educational effort in the law to teach lawyers, judges, politicians what their beliefs are, why their beliefs matter, and to work to integrate a sensitivity to those beliefs within the law. Or they can strategically choose to frame their arguments within the more sort of straightforward Western conception of common law property disputes. One has the chance to make some serious progress in terms of cultural understanding, but it will take a lot of investment and a lot of patience. The other is perhaps reframing arguments in ways that aren't necessarily consistent with your own cultural approaches to natural resources, but they might be more likely to prevail in the short term.
All right. Rhett Larson is an associate professor of law at the ASU Sandra Day O'Connor College of Law. Rhett, thanks a lot for coming in. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.